I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Our State Capitol Report continues here on the Ideas Network as we continue to discuss what's been happening in the legislature of late. We had Sean Johnson on in the first half of the program. In this half hour, I'm joined by Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and Assembly Minority Leader in the Wisconsin State Legislature. Here's how you can get in touch with the program, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Talk at WPR.org is the email address. You can also find the Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave a comment or question there. Representative Barca, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
John, good to be back with you.
So the legislature had a pretty busy week as they tried to wrap up and go home to run for re-election for those who were actually running for re-election. Some of the big news of the week, though, wasn't about necessarily about legislation, but about the economy. The state added more than 28,000 private sector jobs in the 12-month period between September 2012 and September 2013. Which, on the surface, sounds like a good thing.
Well, there's no question. All across the country, John, you know, we are certainly in recovery, and that's a positive thing. Virtually every state has a surplus, and you know, I think the president's initiatives nationally have certainly been a plus. And obviously, the private sector's done the right things as well to make the adaptations that they needed to become more profitable and to be able to become more competitive. So that's a good thing. But Wisconsin continues to be one of the worst economies, unfortunately, in the nation in terms of adding jobs. You know, we're still, we're 35th for that same quarter, and we're still 37th over the last two-year period. So, you know, one of my biggest disappointments as we look to wrap up the session is just the dearth of legislation to try and help to boost and bolster the economy. You know, there are literally dozens of bills that are still sitting on the table that desperately need attention, everything from capital formation to workforce development to Buy American and Buy Wisconsin to promoting Wisconsin manufacturing across the country. And, you know, some of these bills were actually on the governor's special session call going back to over a year and a half ago. But for whatever reason, the Republican majority just chose not to bring those bills forward and instead brought forward bills like voter suppression and bills like allowing lobbyists to hand out money early. It just is so unfortunate.
So you don't have any idea from your Republican colleagues why these other bills didn't come up? Are they stuck in committees? Where are they?
Well, you know, that's what's so remarkable. Some of these bills have passed one house but not the other, you know, such as promoting manufacturing, Wisconsin manufacturing around the country. You know, that's something we passed early in the session through the Assembly, but the Senate wouldn't take it up. And, you know, bills like further bolstering angel investment actually had passed last session through one house but not the other. And bills like helping to provide capital for small businesses like the Community Development Finance Authority just, you know, couldn't seem to get the kind of traction it needed. And you know, so it's just so unfortunate because clearly that would make a difference in terms of helping to create jobs here in Wisconsin. We know that businesses in Wisconsin are starting to turn the corner, but with a little bit more assistance from the state, I think that it would help enormously. And we've seen it be successful in other states around the country. And why we have all the time in the world for things like limiting voting in nursing homes and limiting early voting and allowing lobbyists to hand out checks early when you aren't dealing with the basic economy, which everybody knows is critical to our state's future, is beyond my comprehension.
One of the things that the Assembly did last week was to pass an amended version of the oral chemotherapy bill. You released a statement after the Assembly passed the amended bill, saying you were glad something got passed. But how do you feel about that $100 monthly copay?
Well, you know, it's so unfortunate there again because, you know, the governor had said he would sign the original bill. I actually had authored the bill 5 years ago and had worked with Pat Strakota in the Assembly the past 4 years. And it was totally unnecessary to amend the bill. There were 58 co-sponsors of this legislation, well beyond a majority. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had talked to people and said there were actually 61 who claimed that they were willing to vote for that. And the governor said he'd sign it. So now it's sort of in limbo. We did get the speaker to make a public commitment that he would not let the session die without bringing us back into session if the Senate did not act on our amendment or if they changed it. So that at least is a plus, because obviously for us to go home and do nothing would be absolutely outrageous, given the strong support for this bill and given the fact that cancer patients all across this state are depending on us doing the right thing. All the cancer organizations have been rallying and working hard to get this legislation passed, which, you know, of course, we all appreciate, and that makes such a difference. And so hopefully in the final analysis, we'll pass the strongest bill possible. We don't know yet what the Senate will do with the amendment that we tacked on, but we'll find out, I'm sure, this week.
No hints at all of what the mood of the majority in the Senate is?
Nothing definitive. It's hard for me to imagine that they wouldn't, go back in and either non-concur in our amendment and call for a conference committee. If they, want to go back to the stronger bill that was originally put forward that, passed the Senate by 30-2, for goodness sake.
Well, and the governor said he wanted to see a clean bill from the Assembly. Are he and Robin Voss not communicating?
Well, apparently not. And, the thing that is just so remarkable is I have sat through the Assembly the past 4 years is just how extreme of a body we are. We just always tend to pass, the most extreme legislation. And I don't want to call this legislation extreme, but obviously it certainly is not as strong as the legislation that we originally put forward. And clearly there was an intention not to bring it up at all until the pressure built. Because in the Assembly, we couldn't get it out of committee. The committee chair and obviously the Assembly leadership, who, Robin Voss tends to tell the committee chairs exactly what they're going to be doing, and they would not bring it up. So until it passed 30-2, there was very little chance, if any, that bill would even come up. But then once they saw that there was that strong a support, and once they saw the governor actually said he'd sign the original bill, well, then they then went to the next to push it back as far as they could for special interests, so, and add an amendment to it. So,
well, who is opposing the clean bill?
Well, the health insurance industry is opposing the clean bill. They just did not support the original bill. They had a number of people from the health insurance industry that testified against it. And this is despite the fact that in other states where they have passed this, and all of our surrounding states have our original clean bill, at least the ones that have it. Michigan doesn't have a bill at all, but Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, they all have, the version that we originally put forward that Pat Strakota and I authored.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick phone call here. We'll go to Ralph in Milwaukee next. Ralph, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I don't know how to state this specifically because it's kind of an awkward question, but I'd like to ask the minority leader if he could put together for his political party a list and display it somewhere on an internet or whatever of all the legislation that has passed since 2012 when the Republicans became the majority in the legislature and with the governor being Republican, of all the things that have put the old mantra statement by the Republicans that politics is local on its head, except for things like roundabouts. And what I'm referring to is legislation that has taken away the ability of local municipalities to put residency restrictions on their employees, or the requirements, rather than using the word restrictions, on things like dictating what Milwaukee County government should basically be made of and what their pay is, or changing the shoreline in Milwaukee specifically for one specific individual in development, and things of that nature. Is that possible that the Democrats could put out a list to show just how much what the Republicans said when they were not the majority in the entire legislature versus when they are the majority, what they say and do are two different things? Because
well,
I was just going to say there's just been a whole ton of legislation that has been passed in the state that puts that mantra way out of kilter.
Okay, Ralph, thanks. So let's let the representative respond, and then we have to go to a break.
Yes, we have a list such as that, and we can find an appropriate place to to put it forward. In fact, I've sent letters to local officials on a couple occasions to warn them about what's taking place, and you're an astute observer because really, literally, it's been at least a couple dozen different examples, and it's just been breathtaking because that old mantra that, you know, government knows best, it's close to the people, which I first ran on, I believe in, has just been totally thrown off by the Republicans. It's just been, you know, legislation after legislation, including the one to limit local, early voting. They made a decision that no longer are we going to let local officials and local clerks decide exactly what's the best arrangement for their particular municipality. Virtually every single county clerk that registered on the topic was strongly opposed to it, just wrote scathing remarks about it, but the Republicans passed it anyway.
We're going to come back and talk about that a little bit. First, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll see who else wants to join us at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. You can also leave your comment on Facebook. Look for the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. My guest this hour is Peter Barca, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha and the Minority Leader in the Wisconsin State Assembly. We're talking about what's been happening in the legislature. A lot of activity as Assembly and Senate try to close their business for the session and get back to their home districts where they will be, most of them will be standing for re-election in the fall. So just before the, one of the things I want to go back to, because we had a Facebook comment on this when we were talking about job creation, we had Gary writing in on Facebook, who he's from Iron County, and he's concerned because in Iron County, the employment rate is 13.5%, and Bayfield County just right behind it, and the Democrats haven't been embracing iron mining as a way to increase employment in that part of the state, and he's not happy.
Well, in fact, the Democrats put forward an alternative, a bipartisan alternative, that we believe would have been far more responsible over the long term, that virtually mirrored identically what Minnesota, who is the largest taconite mining state in the country, has. Senator Tim Cullen and Senator Jelk and Senator Schultz worked extremely hard, had hearing after hearing up there, and put forward what I believe, and I held was one of the lead sponsors in the assembly on, would have been a far more responsible approach. And ironically, probably would have led to mining in a more expeditious manner because it would have harmonized what the feds did with the state government. Each of the state and the federal government both have their own procedures that have to be approved in order for the mine to go forward. The Republicans have a much more disjointed process. So as a consequence, the state may approve it quicker, but the feds may take longer.
All right, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Let's take another call. Frank is with us from Mason. Frank, good morning.
How are we doing today?
Pretty chilly up here in the north, huh, Frank?
Yes, sir. I was had a question for Peter. Now, there had been talk, and this is over a month ago, about I know that you had the propane dealers, you got them bailed out, and then there was talk about loaning a small under $2,500 loan to us people that have to heat with propane because, I'll tell you, I got into a car accident in December and was out for about 4 weeks. I spent more in December and January on propane than I made. And, you know, when you got the propane bills topping $1,400, $1,600, you know, it's just been a tough winter. I woke up this morning, it's 9 below again. I'm just wondering whatever happened to that or if that was just, you know, that was just something we were considering in January. Now it's March, but it's still, I just still had to fill up again the other day, and it's still $3 a gallon.
Well, Frank, thanks for the call. Representative Barca?
Well, Frank, I know that it really has been just a terrible situation for people that depend on propane for their heat. And this is something that on a bipartisan basis, we did pass legislation in order to try and help both suppliers and the and the end users to obtain propane. So I've not been able to track the success in implementing it. Hopefully the administration has, you know, gotten that out there to people.
Okay, so the legislation did pass.
Take a look at it.
The legislation did pass.
The legislation passed, as well as there were steps taken administratively. I serve on the WEDIC board, and we took administrative action as well.
Okay. Thanks for the call, and let's hope that it gets warmer very soon. Ned in Lake Dubay is next. Ned, good morning.
Good morning. I wondered if there's, since Governor Walker has not come out on record either in favor or opposing the voting restriction days and hours bill, is there a realistic chance if people got organized and started contacting the governor in opposition to the bill, is there a realistic chance that we might actually make a difference and that he might possibly not sign the bill? Or is that a futile effort?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think people should immediately begin contacting the governor. You know, as editorials all across the state have indicated that, you know, the problem is not that too many people vote, it's that not enough people vote. And there's no question this is going to restrict people from voting and plus make it harder for clerks to serve their customers. You know, it's just an outrageous example of curtailing democracy. I think it was the Appleton Post Crescent that said it was, you know, that it's just, you know, curtailing democracy one step at a time with all of these just large number of voter suppression efforts that the Republicans have brought forward. I was pleased to see the governor saying he was going to have to give this careful thought. All we can do is take him at his word that he actually is being sincere and that he has heard the cries of people throughout the state who just find it reprehensible that in this day and age we would make it harder for people to vote. So I think it's a great idea. I hope you'll call the governor's office. It's 266-1212, area code 608, 266-1212, or send him an email, send him a letter, and let him know how strongly you feel, and let him see that the these editorial pages that the Republicans say they don't care about, that, you know, it's a reflection of the will of the people, and that people do not want to see, you know, this type of action to curtail voting, especially when they're giving politicians more of a chance to collect money earlier from lobbyists. I mean, you juxtapose the two, and it's just breathtaking. It's sort of the slap in the face to democracy that we've seen just this past week alone.
Ned, thanks so much for the call. Governor Walker did say earlier that he's open to calling a special session to pass another voter ID law should the current law not be upheld by the Supreme Court, and he wants it in place for the next election. You think that's going to happen?
Well, I think you're trying to get my blood pressure up here, John. Because, you know, of all the things that you would call us back in a special session on, you know, clearly we still don't have full accountability in our school system. Clearly we have significant needs in both rural and urban schools across the state who are struggling with, you know, the governor taking $1.6 billion out of education. Clearly, we still have a huge skills gap that we need to close. Clearly, we still have small businesses that are struggling. But of all the issues, and the only issue the governor said he'd call us back on is this, you know, one more voter suppression bill compared to all the other significant issues that are out there. It's just outrageous, quite frankly. And, you know, that is not, by a long stretch, the most important issue facing the state, based on survey after survey, based on, you know, the issues that we know our people care about around their kitchen tables. And I just find it unbelievable that the governor would even make such a remark, that that's the only issue he would call us back for.
The governor also recently signed into law a bill that would allocate $35 million to help technical colleges eliminate waiting lists for high-demand fields, help high schoolers get job training for high-demand jobs, and help people with disabilities find work. And how do you see these initiatives affecting job growth?
Well, I think that clearly was a plus. There's no question about it. You know, the governor in his original budget cut the vocational colleges by, you know, about a third, and we still haven't restored all of those funds. But I know he did put forward some money at long last for those areas where you have waiting lists, and that was I think a response forward. I was pleased to see it. However, I will say this. In doing so, the governor's created a new bureaucracy, something, once again, the Republicans claim they're against, as opposed to just giving money through, let's say, the state vocational college and set some criteria. We know that we have one of the best vocational colleges in the country, started here in Wisconsin. They've proven to be effective, and why we created a new bureaucracy to send this money through, which delays the process and which, you know, doesn't assure that it really is constructed in the manner that we think is most responsible, is unfortunate. But I do think it's positive that at least we're beginning to address that issue. Didn't go as far as, you know, as we would have liked to have seen. If we would have put just one-tenth of the surplus into the vocational colleges, we could have completely eliminated or virtually eliminated the skills gap, which is 39,000 people we could have put back to work. But nonetheless, like I said, I do give the governor credit for at least putting an initiative forward on this.
And that's, I think, where we're going to have to leave it, because we're about out of time. Representative Barka, thanks for joining me this morning.
Great being with you, John. Thank you so much.
Peter Barka is the Democratic State Representative from Kenosha, and he is also the Minority Leader in the Wisconsin State Senate. This program was produced by Bill Martins. We had on-air production from Robin Cherry, and Christy Taylor served as Director.